Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy holidays. Thanksgiving kicks it off. The next 4 to 5 weeks. Pure joy, right? Okay. Well, definitely a time to reflect, at any rate. And that's the context in which I'm going to offer you the show today. It's a show that asks you to reflect. Now, health and holiday season, well, they kind of go together and they kind of don't, right? Everybody gets a little fatter. We go into the alternate lifestyle, and that's all wonderful. That's part of the holidays. And then around January 1st, everybody makes the resolution to get healthy, to lose some weight, to get back. You know, if you go to the gyms, Equinox, LA Fitness, you'll see these cycles. And every now and then there's this cycle where everybody's at the gym, and then there's a cycle where no one's at the gym. And it's just the way our culture is. But part of the holiday definitely is we take inventory. And if you were to take inventory, the context in which I offer you the show today is if you're in an early disease state, if you've got chronic symptoms, rather than potshot it with quick fix remedies that may or may not work, what I'd like you to do is think of your symptom, or if you're in the stages of early disease, as a message from your body that there's something you're doing, some way of embracing your life that isn't working, and your body's symptom, your disease, is giving you a message. So today's show is Why Early Disease is a Blessing in Disguise. Happy Holidays. Now, whether you want radiant health or whether you want to get out of chronic symptomology, there's a blessing in there for you. And that's the point of the show today. Really, the functional perspective, the way to look at it that'll make a difference for you, is to dig a little deeper and just embrace the possibility that your symptom is a request to enter into a process that's got a wonderful payoff, a payoff that you didn't think in terms of. And anybody that's done this, anybody that's ever gotten on the other side of a disease, anybody that's ever fixed a chronic symptom will tell you this. In retrospect, it was a blessing. So there's a blessing in there. That blessing's in the form of wisdom. Your disease, your symptomology, what you're facing demands more wisdom, a higher wisdom. And that's what life is in a sense, right? It's an inquiry. It's a self-inquiry that always demands a higher wisdom. And a happier life is that life where you extract enough wisdom about who you are and how you're supposed to be to get the job done. The job meaning to get to that point where you're satisfied. Everyone's here for a reason. Everyone has a creative force. And everyone understands that demonstrating that, spreading that into the day-to-day of your life, well, that's not always an easy thing to do. That creative drive is subject to many challenges along the way. I'm asking you to think of your disease as the net result of too many failures of your creative force, where your creative you doesn't manifest, is when your chemistry goes wrong. Now, that's as scientific as any statement you'll ever hear. We just have to stretch our perception of science. No matter which way you cut it, no matter which way you study the genes, no matter how deep you go into this inquiry, no matter how many credentials you pack on to your perception of why you suffer from your symptom, reinforced when you go to your big trips to the hospital to see the men in white who give you the chemistry, I mean, theoretically, of course, this never happens. But in theory, you're trusting that your symptom, your disease, your process is about a failure in the chemical realm. I'm telling you to look deeper than that. I'm saying to you, it's about a failure in the creative realm. And that the two, the creative realm and the biochemical realm, are integrally connected. That we're going to try to solve this problem with pharmaceutical drugs is, of course, a near absurdity. Yes, they may intermittently save the day, but they will almost always guarantee you that you will lose the war. So as short-term solutions, the drugs may have value. As long-term solutions, they really, really mask the deeper and better choice. But you see, that other choice isn't obvious. Where you're failing to thrive, where your creative force is coming up short, that's not obvious. That's what the inquiry's about. Now, why do you do herbs? Why do you spend your money on herbs? You know, you listen, as I do, because it's my profession, across the board to all the radio stations and all the literature and the books and the news journals talking about today's latest supplement that you're supposed to purchase on special because it's going to help you along your way, give you that health that you want, prevent or slow down the appearance of disease. And whether you're buying one supplement to do this or 100 supplements to do this, this by and large is the mentality. I'm telling you that there's another way to look at herbal medicine. There's another way for you to look at those supplements. And that other way to look at it is if where you spend your dollars on your herbs to rejuvenate or detoxify, where you spend your money can be made more effective if you understand that you're spending it to clean the body so that you can get to your soul. You're trying to get to your creative force. When you cleanse and cleanse and strengthen and cleanse, right? That's the symbiosis. Strengthen and detox in Germany, who birthed holistic medicine in the West, the Germans, off what they took from India and China, going back as far as the Jesuits. In Germany, the maxim is strengthen and detox. Build strength so you'll have the energy for a detoxification, and there's great science behind that. But to strengthen and detox, is to get you ultimately closer to your soul. You see? So to strengthen and detox, if part of that is about your herbal remedy, about why you listen to radio shows offering you herbs and cleanses and so on and so forth, I'm suggesting that you take that investment of your mental energy, your creative energy, and put that into a perspective that works. And that is the perspective. The money you spend on your herbs is as good as it gets you closer to your soul. Why? Because at the root of the problem is blocked creative force. After that, everything is semantics. So when I say to you, early disease is a blessing in disguise, happy holidays. If you can understand this, it's going to be a happier holiday. And if you've ever met anybody that's gotten on the other side of a disease, of symptomology, of something that could have gone really bad and it went really good instead. If you've ever had the pleasure of meeting someone that's done that, they will talk to you about the blessing of health. And they will tell you it's inextricably wound into the advent of early disease. So why early disease is a blessing in disguise? Happy holidays. We talk about the word terrain. Terrain. That means if you're not changing the environment around the cell, you're going to go nowhere. What we do is we run off to doctors, even holistic practitioners, unfortunately. What we do is we run off for the symptom control. Well, the roots of medicine, if you trace medicine back far enough to its origins in the West, the origins in the East are prehistoric. But the origins in the West, if we trace it back far enough, well, we're in France, we're in Germany. We're listening to names like Claude Bernard, Rudolf Virchow, Antoine Bichon. The fathers of modern Western pathology, microbiology, had perceptions that were a lot more holistic than you can know. Now, on the website, that's straighttalk.cc, those of you that are on the site or those of you that will go to the site later can indulge yourself gleefully in pictures on the site. Picture number 4 is a quote by Claude Bernard, one of the great scientists, one of the great searchers, truth seekers of his day, and respected in the universities. I mean, these are the big names. 1850, 1860, 1870. In Europe, which was way ahead of America at the time. And here is Claude Bernard, a quote, famous Bernard quote, "The terrain is everything, the germ is nothing." How little we respect that today, considering our present myopia on vaccine. Right now, billions and trillions of dollars focused on all the way to enacting laws, forcing you to be vaccinated, forcing your children to be vaccinated. When the guys that started this out, who were competing with the vaccine people back then, it was Bernard versus Pasteur, Bouchon versus Pasteur. It was Pasteur and the Rockefeller Institute versus people who understood that changing the terrain was the most important thing you could do to get to the creative force of the cell. That the cell was its own living organism in a family of other organisms. And then when that cell did not thrive, when its magnetic field depleted, it was in response to a faulty terrain. And that if you looked in with a microscope and you saw a deformed cell, a decayed cell, a necrotic cell, an apoptotic cell, a senescent cell, a malignant cell, you simply had to ask yourself what was off and faulty within the terrain. Now, I'm not making this up. You can attack me on so many levels. These names are here today. Bernard, Beauchamp, Virchow. Just a few. And they reflect a mindset from the highest levels of academia on how one should look at their disease, their chronic symptom. I like two areas. I prefer two areas. They're both two sides of the same coin. One is chronic disease, and the other is radiant health. They're two very interesting places after you're 60 or 50 years old. After you're 50 years old, you're headed towards chronic disease. What you got that used to go away doesn't go away anymore, and you live with it every day, only now it starts to affect you. You can't do the things you want to do or the things that you have to do because you're in too much pain. That's chronic disease or radiant health. You've got a lot to do, and at 80, 85, or 90 years old, you want to make sure that you're still vibrant so you can do it. Both of those arenas are very, very interesting to me. A great deal of my creative force lives there. Lives there in understanding how one determines the other. And they're very linked. But what we miss more than ever is the wisdom of gentlemen devoted their entire life to understanding the terrain is off. Now, Beauchamp, great book. Beauchamp or Pasteur, a lost chapter in the history of biology. Those of you on the website, that's straighttalk.cc. Picture number 7. Beauchamp was famous in his own right. Famous not so much for heralding the terrain, but he had made great contributions in chemistry, industrial chemistry. I mean, he was gifted in a multitude of ways, highly respected. There's a book by Ethel Hume, that's H-U-M-E, Beauchamp or Pasteur. It was about their feud. They had a feud. They didn't like each other. You know, a lot of these things are exaggerated. This isn't. Beauchamp did not like Pasteur and vice versa. Picture 8, I've got a great picture of both faces next to each other in the same clip. My point to you is that Beauchamp understood that the blood was an organ. We don't think of the blood as an organ. The blood is very much an organ. It has many dimensions of function. It's a liquid organ. That really is the way to think of the blood. And its condition has massive influence on the space between the cells. And it's that space between the cells, the extracellular matrix, the extracellular space, that none other than Pissinger, that's picture 17, Alfred Pissinger, the extracellular matrix, his book, his contribution, the extracellular matrix and ground regulation, basis for a holistic biological medicine. Guys, this is the track. If you're driving in, you just tuned in, pull over if you can. Get home, listen to the shows. Those of you who know me, you know this is the inside track. If you have issues, do not look further. Not further in the sense that this is the perspective. I quote people, all of whom have in common a perspective radically different than the ones you're exposed to. And whether you're pill popping, drugs, or herbs, it doesn't matter. Candace Pert did the same thing. Candace Pert, Pissinger, Royal Rife, Beauchamp, Virchow. These are all scientists. You cannot argue with their credentials. Pissinger writes this book, The Extracellular Matrix, The Space Between the Cells. That's the terrain. He's preceded many, many years by all the people I just mentioned who were talking about the terrain. Beauchamp's point was that the fibrin, go down to picture 26, picture 27, the fibrin has massive influence on the health of the terrain of the blood. The terrain of the blood and the quality of the fibrin, when the blood gets too sticky, it is a sure sign that the terrain will suffer. The terrain, not just the terrain of the blood, but the terrain in between the cells. Why is the terrain in between the cells so much about what you need to understand? Because when the terrain between the cells is askew, the cell will ache and scream and cry, and the nerve fibers will pick up that sensation, and you will have the uncomfortable experience of pain. Pain is just a clue. Pain is what precedes loss of function. When the diabetic, the pre-diabetic has itching, when the pre-diabetic has fatigue, when the pre-diabetic has pins and needles, painful spasms into different parts of the body, that's what precedes loss of kidney function. That's what precedes you can't stand because your joints disintegrated. That's what precedes you can't see because your retina is detached. Pain represents inflamed nerve endings. Inflamed nerve endings guarantee you the space between the cells isn't happy. Now, the blood is a perfect indice of that. And the fibrin is a perfect indice within the blood of this inflammatory process. I'm just going to let loose today for my regular audience. God willing, this will perk the imagination and truth sensors of those of you who have tuned in for the first time. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. I have spent over two decades on many levels doing what my teachers taught me to do and finding that the returns were disappointing. The way we dispense medicine, whether it's holistic or otherwise, needs a facelift. And I will do this show ever more passionately to give it that facelift for you, because you are getting a raw, limited, myopic perception. If all we're going to do is sell supplements or prescribe pharmaceutical drugs, we are in a lot of trouble. I am without doubt at all costs going to spend the next 3 to 4 years diving deeper into the genome, as it definitely represents, genetics definitely represents the next wave in medicine, without doubt. We aren't even scratching the surface. I don't think you could understand fully the impact, I don't think anyone can, of what you'll be told and how you'll be managed. What you're being taught in school, what your children are being taught, what you may be taught in schools about the genome, about the genes, about DNA, about recombinant DNA, about inserting genes, all in the name of curing disease, and a fuller perspective that you're never going to get, is really where the travesty is going to occur. It's occurring now. I'll be in the middle of that. Because no doubt, sooner or later, we're going to find that in the DNA is our creator force. And that the DNA is light-bearing. There's something about it that the electromagnetic field of the body is inextricably bound to. And these connections, I don't think, are even being scratched right now. But my point to you is that it behooves you, it obliges you to change and open the all too limited perception of why you suffer in health and disease. And all we have to do, it's already down in the literature. As I'm saying, Beauchamp, Bernard, we're all telling you that the first place you look is the terrain. And that the blood is an indice of that. Clean the blood. Well, there. Clean the blood. So there's my advice to you. You have a symptomology. You suffer. Clean your blood. I don't think it's too difficult to do the various cleanses, the various detoxifications. I think the perspective is what needs to change. Go on Google, go on YouTube, look into it yourself. Liver cleanses, gallbladder cleanses, kidney cleanses, colon cleanses, the rules for fasting. The reason most people with symptomology don't do that is because they don't know what to expect. They don't have the attitude or the perception to embrace the process. Consider yourself and consider your symptom and consider the cleanses you do or the cleanses you may do. If you have an arthritic condition, if you have an autoimmune disease, if you have a cancer, if you have a cardiovascular problem, if you have a cognitive disorder, you can't remember anything anymore. Somebody's told you you're pre-Alzheimer's. You know in your soul senility's on the way. What you expect from a cleanse, whatever cleanse you do, is some resolution of your symptom. That's delusional. To think that way is delusional. To make a direct cause-effect relationship between the cleanse you do or the money you spend trying to get healthy and a resolution, a mitigation, a decrease in the symptomology is delusional. You may find that counterintuitive. You may think, hey, what is this? I work hard for my money. It isn't convenient to cleanse, to give up all my goodies and do a colon cleanse that may last a week. I mean, if you really want to know where you fail or where you have to improve, it's an understanding why you're doing what you're doing. This serves as a case in point. If you suffer from chronic symptomology, if you suffer from chronic disease, and you spend time and money and energy participating in the various cleanses, liver, colon, kidney, etc., and you expect your symptomology to go away, or to decrease, you are delusional. It doesn't work that way. And yet I understand. I sympathize with your situation. Because all you have to do for the rest of today and tomorrow is turn on any radio station, go to any YouTube clip, and somebody's telling you that if you suffer from chronic arthritic pain, just try this remedy. Because you're going to get help. And, you know, we know how to do this dance now. We have research behind it. We have testimony behind it. We have special deals. There's nothing to lose. And that's what everybody's doing. And what I'm trying to say to you is there's another perspective that involves all these wonderful remedies that goes deeper and has far greater guarantee. Use your money well spent on those different nutritional formulas to strengthen and detox the body, because that net effect will begin to alter the terrain. What do I mean by the terrain? The space between the cells will begin to clean itself. It'll begin to strengthen itself. Now, how the body takes that additional benefit and what it decides to do with it, that is anybody's guess. This is where you have to give it up. Feed health and let the body do the rest. Feed health, let the body do the rest. Don't feed health and you, in our human-like arrogance, decide where the body's going to determine the benefit or the gain. I'm going to do this cleanse because if I do this cleanse or I take this herb, I'm going to get this benefit because they told me so. That is delusional. And if you can understand that, then you can understand why there is so much war. There is outright war against making claims for nutritional products. There is outright war against that. Do you understand anyone producing a supplement today, a nutritional supplement worth its salt, is under constant legal assault by the FDA, by the AMA, by the FTC because of claims made? Do you understand that? Do you know what it's like to run a nutrition company? You live in constant vigilance that the claim you make may land you with a suit or worse. And of course, why do we make these claims? Because it's the only model we have to get you, John Public, to understand why you should spend your time, your money, and your energy with herbs, with nutritional supplements. And what I'm saying is it's not necessary to do that. Do you understand? A terrain-oriented perception of health will deliver you in a very hard, fast, steadfast model. When that terrain doesn't work, there are things that happen to the cell. One of them is called apoptosis. If you're on the site, go to picture number 3. Apoptosis and necrosis. So what happens when the space between the cells, just as what happens in the blood, when it begins to die or it begins to suffer from its own buildup of poison and the failure of the body to clean that terrain, the cell, living in the muck or the sewer of the blood, living in the sewer of the intercellular space, the cell begins to respond. And again, by the time that cell is responding, generally, you're already symptomatic. Now, this can still be a very early stage of disease. But no doubt, by the time the cell is starting to necrose, showing signs of early necrotic decay or apoptosis. Apoptosis is one cell has genes triggered, and the genes express to destroy and tell the cell to commit suicide. Apoptosis in a cell means your extracellular space, means your blood, which means your detoxificatory pathways are so plugged up that your cell is sleeping in its own vomit. And the muck and the sludge and the stink around each and every cell in your body has finally triggered genes inside the nucleus of the cell that code the cell, that tell the cell to kill itself. Isn't that fascinating? Don't you find that fascinating? That's what disease is. That's a perception of disease. If you take an organ, like your brain, like your heart, like your kidney, like your liver, like the epithelial lining of your intestines, like your joint, for reasons stated, the cells begin to just kill themselves. They take a gun and, cellularly speaking, commit suicide. And guess what? By many perspectives, that's considered a health-saving remedy for the cell. It wants to kill off what doesn't look good to protect the rest. Now, that's simply stated, yes, for the show. But the bottom line is, it begins with triggers. And even though those triggers are genetic, the question is, what triggered the genes? And you are back to terrain once again. What more can I say to you? And I realize, unfortunately, the extent to which the words I speak today fall on deaf ears. And I don't necessarily mean you. I mean you, maybe, next week when you get up and your back goes out. Or you have an arrhythmia. Or you find out that a little mole is really a tumor. Or that you're MRI'd or scanned and you're told you need a joint replaced. This is when the rubber hits the road. And so I want you to really take this self-accounting. I want you to take it deeply into yourself so that you can navigate your way through the labyrinth of chronic illness. And it's the same thing if you're not ill and you want vibrant health. If you're 70 and you want to hit your 80s doing marathons, go for it. It will still come down to understanding the dynamics in which you have to regulate the terrain. Now, inflammation. What does this have to do with inflammation? So we're laying down concepts today. Inflammation, necrosis, apoptosis, extracellular space. Why buy that herb? Why do that cleanse? Because it helps regulate those spaces. Of course, how do you know where you are along the way? What are the guidelines? You like to go to your blood tests. The truth is, your blood test, we don't have tests in the classic sense of allopathic medicine. We don't have tests to determine you're on the right track. We really don't. By the time you have to put your trust in blood tests to tell you how you're doing, you're already drowning. You got to get that one. Once you've spent 20, 30, 40, 50 years precipitating the expression of a gene, driving a disease, do you think week to week in that first year or 2 years you're going to receive blood tests to tell you how you're doing? Are you kidding me? Don't do that to yourself. I'm going to get to, before the show's over, at least a perspective in which you can determine where you're at along the way. Right now, I just want to describe the path you're on and why. And again, it is to clean yourself using herbal medicine, the cleanses, so on and so forth, to change the terrain between the cells, the chemical terrain between the cells, the chemical terrain of the blood. And whether you're limiting apoptosis or limiting necrosis or limiting dysplasia to malignancy, they're all part of the same thing. And again, this isn't new. This is old. This is old medicine. Truly old medicine. Now, when we talk about the word inflammation, Go to picture 38, picture 39, Time Magazine. There's Time Magazine. The secret killer, inflammation. Inflammation is just a measure of chemical imbalance in the terrain. It's just a word. And all the markers for that will never reflect the reality of it. Science has not spent enough time focusing on blood markers or any markers to determine the inflammation in the intercellular space. Probably the closest thing we have is thermography. Probably you have to look at the sum total of all the vectors or all the ways we measure inflammation, which again tells us the condition of the intercellular terrain. Probably we have to add all the markers up and then correlate it with clinical symptoms. That's where it gets complicated. But I want you to understand that inflammation, when we say inflammation, we're basically saying we have proof that if the terrain is imbalanced, you're going to get sick. See, it's the context in which you understand these things. Can you piece them together to create a functional model of medicine so you really understand what the principles are upon which health is achieved and disease is overcome? That's where the ticket is. Look, you do understand this. Sure you do. Take money, which you're very conscious of the necessity of understanding. Money, your retirement money. If you're listening to this ad and you're listening to that ad and you're listening to a third ad and going to this seminar and that seminar, how can you put that against a degree in economics from Wharton or the London School of Economics? Do you get my point? The reason Wharton is Wharton and you're you, the reason that guys from Wharton don't get ripped off and you do, is because guys from Wharton took the time to understand the concepts and forged them into a cohesive perspective of the way economics works. I'm asking you to do the same thing regarding your health. I have 340 shows asking you to do this. Now, what I'm going to do, I think it's time to mention this, over the holidays, probably from the middle of December all the way to the first of the year, or to the 1st of February, is I'm going to be contacting people who listen to the show regularly. I don't mean my radio audience, unfortunately. I mean the people that actually tie in to the website during the week to study the shows. And we have ways of tracking that, of course, if you're on internet. And you'll be contacted if you have any interest in gathering. I'm going to do a seminar of about 20 people, people who listen to the show at multiple times during the week. Remember, all these shows, if you're just on radio today listening, I put all these shows on the website. I don't think that's news to anybody. StraightTalk.cc, they're in an archive. I don't charge for them, and people will study them. The lay people, even the doctors who listen, need to study the shows to get the concepts. I want you to navigate your health the way graduates of Wharton or the London School of Economics or the Harvard Business School would navigate their investments. That's why I talk the way I do. And some of you find it too much, and that's all well and good, but a lot of you don't. And my experience is that if you've been through the merry-go-round of try this, try that, and try the other thing, if you're ready to really think about where you're at and what to do, well, then the pot of gold can be yours. Healing is real. It does occur. But you got to know how to do it. So inflammation, the secret killer. All it is an indice. It's a way to measure how imbalanced the terrain is chemically. Now, here is another key. Pruning the roses, and I've mentioned this on the shows. I put 4 or 5 pictures on the show today about pruning the roses. I find there's a great guy. Is a German forester was his name. He was a forester. His name escapes me. I'll remember in a moment. And watching nature, he learned so much about how nature heals itself. And one of the facets through which nature heals itself is what we observe with roses each winter when we prune them. To have plants that need pruning is to watch your plant grow to fruition and then reach a point in the name of health where you have to cut into the plant itself. And as you well know, just whittle it down to a tiny little bush in the interest of building strength within the plant. That's a hint. Victor Schauberger. Victor Schauberger. That is a name you should know. Nature is teacher. The fertile earth. He was a forester in Austria back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Studying, a forester is somebody who's paid by noblemen to keep the 200 acres they own healthy and fertile. And he was one of the better known foresters, Victor Schauberger. And he's got a series of incredible books. I promise you his name will be resurrected as it currently is. And one book he's got is called Nature as Teacher. I've put his books on my earlier shows. And Nature as Teacher points this thing out. That much of what we do in nature, say around plants, forests, is chop them down. You know what we do? We inflame them. We create our own deliberate vector of inflammation. We inject inflammation into the body. We cause it to stimulate regeneration. Inflammation creates regeneration. If your fingers are crooked and painful, if your organ is fibrotic and failing, if your brain doesn't function, if you can't remember where to go and how to get there, if you're driving your car a mile away and you get lost and can't remember where or who you are, no doubt there is an inflammatory cycle that is depriving your organ of normal function. Here's the point. At some point to heal it, to heal that faulty organ, you have to inflame it, just like we do when we prune the roses. That's what Schauberger is saying. That's a fraction of what he's saying, but it's one thing that's stated. To regenerate, you have to inflame. What do you think those detoxifications do? What is the healing crisis? Those of you familiar with detoxifications, there's a certain point where it doesn't feel good. But underneath it, there's something righteous about it. But the part of a detoxification that doesn't feel good, giving up sugar doesn't feel good, giving up caffeine doesn't feel good. Going into fasts of different sorts doesn't feel good. The reason, the virtuous reason, the righteous reason, the righteous path is filled with moments where you don't feel good. When you start to feel the blockage to your creative force, it doesn't feel good. You there with your tumor, with your autoimmune disease, with your symptom, When you start to get to the part you're supposed to get to, it doesn't feel good. What you've done is you've cleansed your way. You've inflamed your way. In the righteous path, you've inflamed your way to the point where it doesn't feel good. That's because you're feeling your emotional pain. And that can go on for weeks. It can go on for months. Against 40 or 50 years of covering it up. And that's my point to you. That's the perception you want to have of the process. Now, what I'm focusing on most recently is that you have to inflame to regenerate. What that means, if you really want to get technical, is there are certain types of immune system cells that if you inflame a scarred tissue, so when the intercellular terrain or when the blood hit a peak of the wrong kind of inflammation and tons of fibrin and scar tissue are laid down, annulling the function of the organ. So when there's enough scarring so that the cells have become apoptotic, meaning they've just died, or necrosed, or on their way in early necrosis, or senescent, meaning without necrosis or without suicide, they just work so poorly they don't really work. Senescent. They're still there, but they don't work. They're senile. He went senile. He's still there. He's in a wheelchair. He can't stand up. He can't even look up. He's blind and he's deaf. He can't talk. But he's there. That's senescence. Whether the cells have gone senescent, apoptotic, early necrotic, reflects a miring or sludging up of the intercellular space. And when you want to reverse that, there are certain types of macrophages that will begin to concentrate in the area to remodel the diseased tissue. Meaning to eat the scar tissue. To eat the scar tissue is very closely related to regenerate the cells. Not the cells that aren't there. Stem cells will be put there by the bone marrow. Stem cells in the organ will begin to multiply. And perhaps things even beyond that that we don't understand. But when we talk about inflaming a tissue to regenerate it, what it means is at some point as you clean the intercellular space, because you know you have to change the terrain, at some point you will begin to see the tissues regenerate, meaning dead cells come to life or dying cells go back to normal or new cells are regenerated. They created through the stem cell, but you have to inflame it. That's kind of what pruning the roses is. Fascinating. Really, how we return to health should reflect nature. It should reflect nature. We're born out of nature. No matter which way you look at it, we, as Homo sapiens, the human organism, is inextricably bound to the planet. The electromagnetic rays out of the planet. How we debase ourselves, understanding things from a pure biochemical level. You know, if you study scientists, Maurice Wilkins, even Watson, people attack Watson left and right. You shouldn't do that. You should listen to Watson talk. Any of your scientists in their late 80s today talk about a different time in science. There's a great clip of Watson talking about the fact that today most PhDs are just technicians. He's saying there's no creative thought process. And James Watson, founder, or I should say one of the three people given the Nobel Prize for icing the molecular structure of DNA, the double helix, Maurice Wilkins, James Watson, and Crick, Francis Crick, talking about the myopia in science today. That myopia tends to exalt the biochemical model, and we're not considering the biophysical one. You know, Wilkins, one of the three nominees and recipients of the Nobel Prize, Maurice Wilkins, was a biophysicist. And if you read Wilkins's biography, he's got a great biography called The Third Man of the Double Helix, the autobiography of Maurice Wilkins. Talks about growing up in New Zealand. Imagine that, New Zealand, at the turn of the last century. The purity of New Zealand 100 years ago. Talks about how his father was a medical doctor and became very dismayed because medicine didn't want preventative medicine. The biophysical model is what the early scientists understood, from Beauchamp to Reif to Nessens to Watson. And the biophysical model is really where the next century of medicine will go. I'm asking you to consider these things. I'm asking you to consider that what I talk about on this show as the nervous system is eventually where you're going to end up, no matter which way you cut the biochemical pie. Happy holidays to you. We'll see you next week. Those of you lost in limbo that need some supervision, my office number, 714-850-1007. See you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.